right, there we go. So, one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament was David. And as a child, reading about the story of David and Goliath fascinated me. I loved it whenever the preacher would get up in the pulpit and he would turn to 1 Samuel and we would talk about David. Any aspect of David's life has always fascinated me, but especially David and Goliath. And as an adult, that fascination has not left me, and I have studied him many times. And at one point, I decided to do a lesson about David. And as I was studying for that, I came to a part in the passages that I hadn't really noticed before. So if you'd like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to read quite a bit of 1 Samuel, because what I wanted to do was I wanted to really capture the entire account of what is going on in 1 Samuel 17. And I thought no better way to do that than to just simply read it. So we'll read all the way through verse 54 this morning. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socah and Azekah, in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in a line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain and on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted at the ranks of Israel, 'Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us.' And the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons who went into the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David his son, 'Take for your brothers an ephah, and this parched grain, and these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well, and bring some token from them.' Now Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left his sheep with a keeper and took the provisions and went, and as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out into the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David, with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank deep into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Sherem and as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. What an incredible account of this young shepherd boy. Sometimes we're walking through life and everything seems to be going just fine, when suddenly we're faced with our own Goliath. I don't believe that David had any intention of fighting a giant when he left on his father's word. I doubt very seriously that David ever thought that he would be engaging in this battle. What do we do when this happens? What do we do when we're faced all of a sudden with this Goliath in our own life? Some of the most interesting things about this verse, or about this passage that we just read. But David, when he got there and he heard this Philistine shout against the army of the living God, I almost imagine David going, "Look at this guy." Just thinking, what is he doing? Does he not know that he is defying the armies of the living God? He is surely doomed. Who's going to fight this guy? And that's the attitude David seems to have. Just like, all right, anybody, whoever's going to go against him, we're going to win because we have God. And when no one does, he doesn't seem to hesitate. He said, "I'll go. I'll face Goliath." And he has no doubt that he will win. One of the most interesting parts of this whole passage to me, though, is not the fact that David had the faith to face Goliath. I believe that that's a tremendous quality, and it's an enormous amount of faith that he did have. But there would have been other people throughout the world that would have faced Goliath. And I'd like to think that I might be one of those people that would face Goliath. I don't know. So you're in that situation. I don't know that you can know. But I can guarantee you that if I was facing Goliath, if I had been faithful enough to face Goliath, I probably wouldn't have done what it says that David did. He ran. He ran quickly to meet Goliath. It's one thing to stand up there and, you know, David, an interesting point about this, David has a ranged weapon. He's got a sling and a stone. So he can stand back a little ways and fling the stone. But he doesn't. He runs to meet Goliath. And that to me had serious impact. Because sometimes we might be willing to face the trials that we have. We might be willing to stand up in the face of adversity only once it comes face to face with us. How many times are we running to meet them? And that's the lesson that I want to give this morning. We need to be watchful, and that's the first point I'd like to make. We need to be very watchful for Satan. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." We can't run to meet our adversary. We can't be charging into battle if we're not paying attention, if we're not being watchful. You know, if David had been so preoccupied with carrying on and talking to people that he didn't maybe hear the Philistine or pay attention to what he was saying, then this probably would have never taken place. The fact that David heard was the only reason that he could stand before him. Well, if we busy ourselves with work, playtime, entertainment, family life, if we're so bogged down by the cares of this world that we're not paying attention to Satan, then he's going to have a sneak attack. He's going to have the upper hand. And we're not going to be ready to meet him. In Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4, we read, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We can look out for Satan and be ready for him, because we know that God is with us. That we know, no matter what the worst possible thing that we could be going through, that God will be there to comfort us. So what do we do when these Goliaths come? What do we do in these circumstances? Some people will wait for others to do the work. And I think that's probably what happened in 1 Samuel 17. Verses 24 through 25 said, "All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled, and they were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he will come to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches. And he will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.'" Nobody was willing to take up that role. Nobody was willing to go stand before Goliath. Not one man of Israel. You think about this. This was an army. They were engaged in war. There were men in that army that were trained from their youth, like Goliath, to fight. There were men in that army that were ready to kill any man, apparently, except Goliath. None of them are willing to make a stand. When you decide to fight, you make a commitment to your country. You're willing to sacrifice your life. If you turn coward, if you decide, "I'm not going to fight," and you turn and run, the punishments can range from corporal punishment to the death sentence. Now, this is not something that's accepted in an army, in a war. And yet, not one single man in this entire army was willing to face Goliath. I'm sure that many people figured that somebody else will do it. Somebody else is better suited. Somebody else is more prepared. I'm used to fighting people my size. You know, I'm not going to be able to figure him out. I'll be defeated. I heard the term yesterday, bystander syndrome. We had our power go out yesterday in a rainstorm. And I didn't call the energy company to report it until it came on a couple hours later and went off almost immediately. And then I said, "Well, I probably should call and see what's going on." I called and it said that the first person to report it was like just a couple minutes ago. Well, the power had been off for a couple hours. And I realized, like, man, we probably could have had this power on a lot earlier if some people had called and reported this, me being guilty of not doing that. Sometimes we just expect other people are going to do this. And a lot of times, they don't. We need to be ready and willing. We are in the Lord's army today. We need to be prepared. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 5, sometimes we're nervous, sometimes we're scared. But in Luke chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, "But I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." There is no person on this planet that we should be scared of like we are scared of God. There is no person in this world that has the authority that God has. And so we need to be ready, and we need to not be afraid, too afraid to fight for what we know we need to fight for. It's no secret that God would have us always doing his work. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going." We have been called to work for the Lord. If you've been baptized, you have accepted that call and you have dedicated your life to the service of God. Are you doing it with your might? Are you expecting others to maybe do that work? We need to be careful. We need to be ready. Do we have doubt in others? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth." It's sad to me to read that. That Saul, the king, who should have known better, looks at David and says, "You can't fight him." need not doubt others' abilities. When those who have hidden in fear are waiting for someone else to do their job, and someone stands up and says, I'll do it, we shouldn't be the ones saying, oh, you can't do it. Sit back down. In Luke chapter 6, verses 41 through 42, we need to be supportive of others. We need to be encouraging, especially to our brothers and sisters in Christ. When someone says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to teach the gospel, we shouldn't say, no, you're not going to be successful. Don't waste your time. We should encourage that. Ask them how we can help. Support them whatever way that we can. Luke chapter 6, verse 41, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. Saul was in this army too. Saul was not going before Goliath. And yet Saul was telling David, you're not going to be able to do it. We need to be careful of that. We need to be careful of putting out someone's fire for God. I've seen it happen many times. Especially young folks who are zealous and anxious to be doing the work of the Lord, to see an older person say, you can't do it that way. You can't do that. Sit back and let us take care of it. We need to be careful not to put out someone's zeal. We also need to be careful of using tools without exercise. And when David puts on Saul's armor, and he tries to go, and he can't, and he says, I can't do this because I have not tested them. We need to be aware of the fact that we'll fall into the same problem if we're not careful. We're told to put on the whole armor of God in Galatians chapter 6. Well, putting it on is the first step. Testing it, being practiced and ready to use it is the second step. We're not going to just simply be able to put it on and know how to use it and be able to use it well. It's not how it's going to work. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16, it says there are some things that seem hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do other scriptures. We're warned here. There are scriptures that are hard to understand. And if you're ignorant, if you don't understand them correctly, you may accidentally twist them to your own destruction. You may just hurt yourself in the process of trying to be pleasing to God. Many people have done this. We need to be cautious. We need to exercise ourselves in the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We need to be rightly handling the word of truth. The fact that he says that means that there is a wrong way to handle the word of truth. Just because we quote scripture doesn't mean we're doing the best thing we could be doing. Even Satan quoted scripture. Even the demons believe and tremble. And so we need to be sure that we're using our tools in a way that we should be. And we can only do that through practice, through study of God's word, through prayer, through leaning on one another, and then having Bible studies with others. That's what we do. And finally, some will trust in God and be victorious like David. Some will run to meet the challenge when they're faced with it. I encourage us all to be like David. I challenge us all to run towards our trials, to run towards our adversaries. Now, Goliath was no small challenge. David said that he beat a lion and he killed a bear. And those were already challenges in and of themselves. But this was a man over 9 feet tall, trained, heavily armored. What was David going to do? For from a totally human perspective, David didn't stand a chance. And that's exactly how every other man in that army felt. But David recognized that God was on his side. And he recognized that God is not limited by the physical aspects of this world. God can do whatever he wanted. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Should be an anthem for the Christian today. If God is for us, who can be against us? I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people against us. The verse is not saying that no one is against us. This verse is saying it means nothing that someone be against us. It is of no consequence to you or me that someone reject us. Because we have God on our side. No one can stop us. One of the most comforting thoughts, that no one can take our crown from us. No one can strip our salvation away from us. We should always be willing to run, as David did, with full assurance that God is backing us up and that He will give us the strength that we need to overcome whatever challenge we may be faced with. So I challenge us all this morning as we leave this place, as we go through our lives, through the week, and through the rest of our lives, that we are assured that God is on our back, that we run to meet our challenges, and that we don't back down in the face of adversity. If you are not a Christian this morning and you'd like to start that journey, you can have that assurance of a home in heaven. You know, David was assured that he was going to beat Goliath. The same way David was assured of that, we can be assured that we'll have a home in heaven. Just like Paul, who was the chief of sinners, knew that his name was written in the book of life. If you need to be baptized to put on Christ this morning for the remission of sins, we are here to help you with that. If you need to make your life right with God, examine yourself and make your life right with God in whatever way. If we can help you do that this morning,